Every time we come, we keep coming back. I think I'm a member of this church. I've been here more time to this church than any other church I've ever been, except the ones I pastored. Come on. I'm not going to business meeting. Thank you for your kindness and your offering. Thank you for all your help making us our stay such a pleasant one, putting us up in such a good hotel, the Hampton. Sometime they put us in the Dew Drop Inn. I've been in some bad hotels. I really have. But this is a good one. You've been so kind to us, and thank you for everything. I got to tell you about Esther and the piano. I married her. She could play the piano, and I married her. Her daddy made her take piano lessons, or gave her a piano. He didn't make her. And she's been able to play the piano all these years. And it's always good when you're a pastor to take the piano player with you. I've told this story here, but some of y'all hadn't heard it. I know we got some folks here that hadn't seen us before, but I got to tell this one story about the piano. We had down in Miami, we pastored, we had a baby grand like that. And the baby grand was over here, and the organ was over there. Just like, this is Assembly of God Church, come on. We got a tradition, hadn't we? So, God had been blessing the church. We started out with 31 people, and God began to send people in spite of my preaching. When there was 31 people there, when they heard me preach first Sunday, some of them left. Come on. I was a rookie preacher. That's been 50 years ago. Started in 1968 in Miami, Florida, after we left the railroad. God was blessing the church in spite of us. So that night, it was on Sunday night, I got up before the congregation to tell them I was going to preach on the blessings of God. Now, Esther always played the piano on Sunday night. We had a number of musicians by this time. We had a saxophone player, an Italian. I told him, is that pasta he ate? Come on, play that saxophone. Esther always played the piano on Sunday night. She's always involved with the kids or something on Sunday morning, or involved with keeping the thing going because she's capable of doing that. And I never looked at the piano. And I just assumed she was there. And I got up and I said, God has been good to Esther and I. In fact, that little girl behind the piano and I have had some good times together, and we had blessings. And I looked, it was the wrong girl. And so, how do you get out of this? You stand there and everybody's just looking at you. I said, there's enough stories going around about by preachers and piano players without me starting another one. It got worse. But she's always played the piano, and I appreciate her so very much, and she thanks you so much, and I do too. Now, I'm going to speak tonight on we've talked about the light and the shepherd. We've talked about many things in the book of John is the vine. We didn't talk about that. We talked about the bread. We didn't talk about the bread, but we're going to talk tonight about, minister to you tonight about two subjects of I ams. I am the way to heaven. I am the door, and I am the way. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a joke. It's kind of like what people believe, that St. Peter is at the gate. All the jokes we have, St. Peter's at the gate. I said earlier this week, I don't know why Peter never gets to go inside. Come on. He's always at the gate. This lady died. She got to St. Peter at the gate. This is a joke. It's not biblical. Come on. Somebody say amen. Someone said we got to laugh sometime. This lady got to the gate. St. Peter said to her, welcome to heaven. Welcome. We're glad to have you. But to get into heaven, you got to spell a word. And she said, what is that word? He said, love. Oh, she said, I'll make it. L-O-V-E. He stepped aside and said, welcome. Just as she's walking by him, somebody called him from inside heaven and said, we got some difficulty inside of heaven. I don't know whether there's any difficulty, but something happened. I've got to go inside of heaven and take care of some things. Would you stand here at the gate and watch the gate for me? I love this doctrine I'm teaching tonight. Come on. Don't y'all leave here and say, I believe this, son, I'm telling you. So she's standing at the gate, and she looked up the path to heaven, and here come her husband. And she said, what are you doing here? She said, on the way home from your funeral, I had an accident, and I died. And here I come to heaven. And she said, you know, to get into heaven, you got to spell a word. He said, what is that word? She said, Constantinople. I think they were having trouble. That is not what I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching on the true word tonight about getting to heaven, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done this week, and we thank you for the privilege of being here with Pastor and Sister Jackson and all this great company of people. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we just hope that we've said some things and done some things to draw you people closer to you, and not attention to ourselves, but to you. And Lord, help us tonight as we get to a real important part of who you are, who you really are, and who you are really for us for eternity. And I pray you'll help us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I read these verses to you last night when I talked to you how he's a good shepherd. I'm going to read them all again tonight except the ones about the good shepherd from John chapter 10, beginning with verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says it the second time, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Can somebody shout amen because of he who he is? We've said all week he's identified himself first to Moses in that burning bush in the desert, I am that I am. And then in the book of John, the seven times he identifies himself again as I am. And this is what we want to speak to you tonight on I am the door, and we're going to finish up with I am the way. Now, Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. He's the good shepherd. We spoke about this last night outside. Shepherds keep sheep. I'm the shepherd. I am the door to the sheepfold. You got to understand, they didn't have chain link fences in that day. They didn't have wire fences. They had stones. They would make a fence for a fold. They would stack stones around, all the way around, and they'd leave one opening. And the shepherd would come in. And again, I said last night, and some of the folks mentioned this, this book is a book of farming, this book is a book of agriculture, and a book of fishing. He always illustrates his illustration of what God is and what he's like by natural experiences or natural examples. He talks about sheep and shepherds. And this is, he's talking about a sheep, and we're the sheep, and he's the shepherd. And the shepherd would bring the sheep into the fold for the night. And the shepherd would come in, and he would bring the sheep in to keep them at night so they could rest and then go out the next day for pasture. You remember we talked about Luke chapter 15. The shepherd went and brought his 99, his 100 sheep into the fold, but he realized one of them wasn't there, so he left the sheep and went back out looking for the lost sheep, the one lost sheep, the 99. He had to look for the one to make it 100. Now, the shepherd would lay down in front of the door, that opening. There'd be one opening, one way in, one way out. He would lay down in front of the door to protect the people, to protect the sheep. He would protect them. He would protect them from predators. He would protect them from other things. A door is an entrance in or an entrance out. Now, we have some folks here tonight that haven't met me before, I'm sure, and hadn't heard me say many times, as I've said in the last few years I've been here, I am a chaplain at the state penitentiary. I go into the gate, the door to the penitentiary. We've got one door in and one door out. That's the door. There's a guard there, several guards. There's a gate there that drops down. Those guards are the only armed people in the place, but they have weapons. And they're to protect two things. They're to protect the people coming in, but they're mostly protecting people from getting out. You protect, the door keeps people in, and it also keeps people out. I sleep there many times. Next Monday night, I'll be sleeping in Angola. There was a place up there, a bedroom I sleep in, and I don't even lock the door. I'm in a state penitentiary with 5,400 men. It's 17,000 acres, 22 miles around it, size of Manhattan Island, and there's a lot of prisoners there. But I don't lock my door. because I know all the bad guys are inside. Come on. They're not going to bother me. But that those men want to get out that gate. I just had a report this week. They had a parole hearing, and two of our pastors, both of them got parole. Can you say amen to that tonight? They're going to get out that gate. That gate's to keep them in until somebody says you can get out the gate. Let me say, that gate keeps people in. But Jesus is saying, I'm at the door to keep people out from hurting you. And that's what I need to apply to us tonight. When you accept Jesus and you're born again and you come into his family, you become a sheep. You become his family. And he becomes part of his sheep. And we preached this last night. The good shepherd takes care of his sheep. Can somebody shout amen? He protects you from predators. He protects you. He protects you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. I want to say this to all of you tonight. You have a helper tonight. You have somebody to keep you. You have somebody that protects you. You can't, I'm going to say it because you got to understand, you cannot take care of yourself. You're no equal to the devil. But let me say it today, Jesus defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. And if I keep preaching this to you as long as I got breath in this body, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's with you. He's there to protect you. He's there to keep you. I want to say to the young people tonight, when you come to Jesus young and a young person, he'll keep you all those years. He'll keep you in the fold. He'll take care of you. He is the door. But if you don't keep saved with Jesus, if you don't come to Jesus, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and help you do things you didn't want to do. Now, there's some people here tonight that didn't get saved as young. Some of you here tonight got saved later. It doesn't matter when you got saved at early in the morning or at 9 o'clock in the day or at noon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Your salvation is just as real as those who came in early. Come on. I'm not here to put any condemnation on you. God wants you to know he'll keep you. He'll keep you. He is a door. He keeps the door. He is a shepherd. He protects you. And he said the thief is coming to take you. And the thief wants to kill you, wants to destroy you, wants to pull you back. But he said in John 10:10, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But let me help you tonight. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He's come to give you joy. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you everything you need. He's able to give you joy, not happiness, not good times, not more pleasure. I work at the prison. I talk to these men, and I'm going to say this to you without fear of contradiction. Some of my best friends have some of the worst pasts in the world. Some of my best friends are murderers. Some of my best friends are kidnappers. One young man that just got paroled, when he goes through one more class, Paul Will, one of our pastors, he kidnapped a young lady in New Orleans and drove all the way to New Jersey with her. He's been there for life. But the parole board gave him 99 years, and now he's got parole. Can somebody say amen? Some of my best friends are rapists. Some of my best friends are multiple offenders and robbers. Does anybody believe Jesus died for everybody? Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've done, he'll keep you. 85 to 90% of the men that I deal with, every time I go to the prison, I go there 2 days a week, are there because of drugs. Many of them don't even remember what they did. And alcohol is a drug. Can somebody say amen? I'm tired of saying alcohol is not a drug. I'm tired of them saying it. I don't say it. But they're there because they was involved in substance. And I know we've got some fellows here from Teen Challenge. I love you guys. Come on, let's give Teen Challenge a hand for being here tonight. I heard you're here. God bless you. I love you. I'm involved with Teen Challenge all the time. I'm involved with Teen Challenge all the time. I've told people first of the week. Last Thursday, I was in the parish jail. You'd call it the county jail, trying to help two people. Because that sheriff, he rocks them up, and then he calls me to get them to Teen Challenge. We have a great teen challenge in Louisiana. But I'm going to tell you, you're looking for happiness. You're looking for pleasure. But there's a hole in your soul that only God can fill. But when he fills it, he gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. So it's joy. Jude 24 says he's able to keep you from falling. I have security tonight. I have security because I know the door of the sheepfold is kept by the good shepherd, and he's protecting me while I'm here. He's the door of the sheepfold here, while I'm in this body, while I'm here on this earth. He's the door. He's the gate. He keeps me. He keeps me. He keeps me. But not only is he the door to the sheepfold, get ready, he is the only door to heaven. He's the only door to heaven. The disciples heard him say one day, I got to leave. My time is short. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. The people are going to turn against me. They're going to take me and they're going to try me. A mock trial. And they're going to condemn me to death. And I'm going to die. But if I be lifted up... He was talking about that cross, folks. I'll draw all men unto me. But they took him, and they arrested him, and they took him and put him on a cross on Calvary's Hill. And there they put him on the cross because they told him, they're going to do all this to me. But the disciples got very disturbed, and Peter said, you're not going anywhere, and he rebuked him. But he tried to prepare them. And then he said to them in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Why he said those words troubled? Because he just got through telling them he was leaving. They didn't want him to leave. How would you like to have been them? How would you like to have been there when he walked the shores of Galilee and walked the streets of Jerusalem? He was there. He took care of all their needs. He was healing the sick and raising the dead. And they were having the time of their life. But he says, I got to go. I have to leave. Oh, no, you can't leave. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then he says, and whether I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas, bless Thomas. Thomas, what's his name? Doubting Thomas. Thomas says, and I read it to you, Lord, we don't know whether you're going, and how can we know the way? You're not leaving us, are you? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way you're going. Now I want you to, if you forget everything I say, listen to this one statement. He made this next statement. This is the most controversial statement for our culture in our day, in 2018, in our country, in this state, in my state, all over, the most controversial statement he ever made. Even more so when he said he was Messiah. They can deal with that, but they can't deal with this one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That is controversial. That's caused more people to stumble. It's called more preachers to waffle. It's called more people to not want to state that emphatically, that he is the door to the sheepfold to keep us while we're here. But he's also the door to heaven. This is radical. It's not moderate. It's not temperate. We're not very understandable. When you say there's only one way, what about all the other religions? What about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? What about the Buddhists? What about the New Age? What about others who do not accept Jesus, who call themselves part of the church as the Son of God? Jesus said, I'm the only way to the Father. And let me establish this, for you heard me all week say this. Where is heaven? I've quit calling it so much heaven, I've called it Father's house. Because wherever the Father is heaven. And wherever Jesus is heaven. This is the Father's house. He didn't say, in heaven there's a lot of mansions. He said, in my Father's house, there's a lot of mansions. And if Lord, I sort of told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. Where I am, there I may be also. He was talking about heaven. He was talking about this. Then he told Thomas and he told the others, the 12 there, I am the only way. I am the only way to heaven. Now, what about good people? A lot of good people in this earth. Can I tell you, you got a lot of good neighbors, haven't you? I got one that's not so good. She gives me problems, but I still love her. Come on. You got bad neighbors? But you got, how many's got good neighbors? Got good neighbors. How many knows a lot of good people? They're honest people. And many of them think that's going to get them to heaven. I know a lot of moral people. I know a lot of good moral people. I know a lot of honest people. I know a lot of nice people. And they wouldn't hurt anybody and do anything for you. But ladies and gentlemen, in all due respects, that's wonderful. They're good citizens. And it's good to be a good citizen. But all that won't get you to heaven. You believe that? I'm going to radically make a statement. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. There's going to be a lot of moral people in hell. There's going to be a lot of nice people in hell. And they've been taught wrong. They almost say this, some doctrines and some religions, even Christian religions, claim to be, say, you got weights. I've heard somebody say, if your good outweighs your bad, then you're going to heaven. We're not on a scale, folks. There's only one way. It's by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, we are saved. How many believe it's by faith only? Come on. By Jesus. This is hard today. It's hard for you where you are. It's hard you young people go to school. I was so thrilled as I was in the hotel room and I saw a commercial. In a few days, they're going to have All Flag Day. Y'all seen that commercial? They want all the kids to come to school and bring their Bible the flagpole on Bible Day. Go and bring the Bibles to school. Isn't that great? Come on, shout amen, somebody. Trying to show people the way. In 1968, not far from here in Baltimore, Maryland, a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare talked the Baltimore School Board she sued the Baltimore School Board and went all the way to our Supreme Court, 50 miles from here, and they ruled that you got to take the Bibles out of school, you got to take Jesus out of the school, you got to take him out of everything. And it sure has helped our school system, hadn't it? It's destroyed us because somebody needs to tell them Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. It's radical. It's hard, but he's the only way. When you tell somebody he's the only way, they say, well, that's not very understanding. Why do you believe that? Because Jesus said it. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to prove it. I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus. I don't believe Jesus was a liar. I believe in him and what he said, I'm going to believe. Can you go along with me? Come on, shout amen, somebody. Now, people, when you force them, it's hard to answer this in certain circumstances. I'm going to mention some names tonight. Larry King Live. Anybody remember Larry? He's on CNN. He's Jewish. I'm not putting him down for that. But I watched him many times when he had a preacher on or a Christian on. And he invariably asked the question, are you telling me that Jesus is the only way? Are you telling me I'm a Jew and I believe in God and you believe in the same God I believe in? But you, because I don't believe in the Son of God as you believe in the Son of God, I can't go to heaven. What kind of understanding is that? What kind of understanding of other people's feelings and other people's religion is that? And I'm not calling the names of some, but I'm going to call the names. I'm going to let you know some. Some of our main well-known preachers, and I won't call their names tonight because I'm not here for that purpose. put anybody down, but I've seen some well-known preachers on television who are very prominent, got asked that question, and guess what? They waffled. They waffled. They said, well, I don't know. That's not for me to decide. No, it's not for you to decide. It's for Jesus to decide. And that some of that well-known preacher, I know one in particular, he got back to his church on Sunday morning, and he had a storm on his hands because he got on Larry King Live and didn't say Jesus was the only way. And guess what? He had to apologize to his church. But I want to close with this. Anybody heard of Billy Graham? You ever heard of his daughter, Ann Graham Lotz? Has anybody heard of Ann Graham Lotz? Let me see your hand if you heard of Ann Graham Lotz. Oh, thank God. I'm speaking to the choir tonight. Ann Graham Lotz got Billy Graham's DNA. She's a preacher. I know some of you don't believe women preachers, but I do. She can tell you about it. She's got a radio program now, and I listen to her on our Christian radio station. She's got a thought, and she'll say, listen to me. And you listen. Come on. She's got Billy Graham's DNA. She's on Larry King Live. And Am Graham Lotz was asked about the same question, and I heard about it from another program, so I went on Siri. Anybody got Siri on the phone? I checked on her. I said, I want the transcript of her on Larry King Live, and I got it, and I read it. I didn't watch her that night, but I heard about it, and I had to go read it. Larry just went through his routine. You mean Jesus is the only way? He's the only way to heaven, the only gate to heaven, the only door to heaven? She said, Larry, my daddy is Billy Graham. He lives on a mountain in North Carolina, Montreat, North Carolina. And because of who he is, he has a fence around his house. Has to. And there's a gate there. And said, Billy, when I go up to that gate, I have no problems because he knows me. Billy Graham knows who I am. I'm his daughter. And they opened the gate, and they let me in. But Larry, if you went up that gate, they wouldn't let you in. Not unless somebody told them who you were and you had permission to be there. You see, Larry, that's Billy Graham's house on that hill, that mountain. And Billy Graham decides who's coming to his house. And our Father has a house for us in heaven. That's the Father's house. And Larry, the Father decides who comes to his house. And he said, and there's only one way to that heaven, and that's through one person, his son, Jesus Christ. Come on, put your hands together for a lady with bone. God, give us boldness. It's hard to stand when people mock you and ridicule you. But I want to say this. We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. After the day of Pentecost, they were all filled on the day of Pentecost. But in the fourth chapter, they went back, were filled again by the Holy Spirit. Refilled again, and this time they were filled with boldness. And Peter couldn't even stand for a little old sissy girl at a fire before he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He couldn't even stand because Jesus was being tried, and he denied the Lord three times and cursed. But something happened to him when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. He's able to stand, this is what the Bible says, and this is what I believe. And he preached the second greatest message ever preached. Come on. And when he died, he was crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord. I'm going to say this to you tonight. We need boldness. We need boldness to tell the people, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And I've preached enough about the life since I've been here. We're going to have eternal life because of him. Come on. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. I am the way. I am the door. No one comes to Father except through me. I want you to stand with me tonight. Esther, I want you to go to the piano.